Join us as we peruse through Aotearoa music history, searching for the greatest, weirdest, and most interesting bits. This is Audio Antiquing, proudly brought to you by Audio Culture Iwi Waiata.
Yes, that's right. It is time for my favourite fortnightly segment, albeit it is my only fortnightly segment, but that doesn't matter. I love it anyway. Yes, it's time for Audio Antiquing, and I'm delighted to have the author of An Introduction to the Primitive Art Group and Braille Collective. I have Daniel Bevan on the line with me. Good morning, Daniel.
Hello, Liam. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah.
Hey.
Sitting in my studio in Paikakariki.
Oh, lovely. And how's the weather?
It's rainy up here, man.
Oh. I was really hoping for tropical, beautiful, sunny. But hey, we can't have it all. First of all, how are you, Daniel? You well?
Yeah, I am good.
Bloody good. Now, I say I have quickly become a fan because I'm now deep into the world of the Primitive Art Group, which you have written extensively about. First of all, congratulations, to actually write something captive isn't necessarily easy. So you've done that. Tell me, what was this like as a topic for you to write about?
Oh, this is like a family history for me.
Wow.
I'm a musician. You know, I'm not a... This is the first time I've really written anything of any length. So I'm a musician and I come from the same kind of family tree as Primitive Art Group, albeit maybe a generation or so later than them. And so these are, not all of them, but a lot of the core musicians are collaborators and good friends of mine. So it was a beautiful... it's a lovely thing to kind of spend time with them and their story, you know, and get and dig into it. And also just to meet others that were around. So Primitive Art Group, this is basically the decade of the 1980s we're talking about in Wellington.
Mm.
So underground music circles and art circles in Wellington. So meeting loads of those artists and musicians was great. Yeah, it was a real pleasure.
Yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. For those who aren't entirely, you know, with what we're talking about here, could you, in your own words, kind of summarise what the Primitive Art Group was?
Yeah, so this is, so we're talking about a book that I've written about this group, a band from Wellington called the Primitive Art Group. And they morphed into various other things, including the Braille Collective, which was a larger, slightly larger collective of musicians that between them comprised maybe 20 different groups, different bands.
Holy moly.
But Primitive Art Group, yeah, really started this this tradition of experimental, like improvised music, free jazz, and creative music making in Wellington, which is still really active. And a lot of those musicians, like Anthony Donaldson, you know, his brother David, David Long, there's a lot of these musicians are still really active in Wellington. But they also started this this momentum of music making, which people like me have picked up from them subsequently. And so yeah, so this book is about kind of the early years of these musicians starting in the late 70s and kind of looking at the music and the group, but it's also about like what was the political context, the economic context, and how does that all kind of play together and what's the kind of dance between the music and politics and art making and Wellington city, the geography and all of that. So that's what that's what I tried to do in this book, is to weave this kind of narrative of these musicians through that quite turbulent time of the 1980s.
Yeah, now, yeah, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. The reason we're talking to you...
I'm hitting lots of nails today.
Yeah, yeah. The kind of the reason we're talking to you about this is, yeah, you wrote a book this year on it. So tell me, what was it like putting that book together?
As a musician, the actual writing part, I got to be honest, it was like... It was just the hardest thing I've ever talking to people, interviewing people, even like transcribing interviews. I had like 70, 60, 70 interviews of, you know, a couple of hours that I sort of sat there with a book pedal transcriber and typed them all out, you know. I could do that. That's fine. It's like manual labor. That's fun. But then when it comes to actually... And then I was like, okay, I'll just write it now, you know. But then you got a blank sheet of paper and you're like, well, how do you, you know. I'm used to like playing a guitar and sort of plugging it into an amp and you turn it up and it starts feeding back and, you know, you kind of like put something in the strings like and kick it around on the floor and then, you know, that's what you do, you know. It's easy. But writing words was like, oh, my God, every single word I have to think about.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, what's my tone of voice like? Who am I? And as a writer, I didn't have that, you know? So I had to kind of learn all that part of it before and during the writing of the book. So it was a deep learning process, you know? Had to dig deep on to come through with the book. But, when it's all done, it just feels like, oh, that was easy, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing. As soon as it's done, you forget all the hard parts. Oh, I'll do that again.
So, and the lovely thing about doing a book like this, obviously there's a text, you know, but then we put it, and I threw in, and working with a really great designer called Carla Schulem, we put like 150 something photos and images in there, so the whole design process was such a beautiful collaboration with Carla. And a real, you know, that's for me, it's like when I read a book, I kind of pick it up and I flick through the photos and maybe, you know, jump into it before actually kind of thinking about reading the words. So I wanted a book which I'd pick up and enjoy flicking through.
And, you know, the photos are so valuable to telling the story, because you definitely look at them and you go, well, this is an assorted bunch of people. There are probably some characters in here.
Mm. And now, the amazing thing was actually, back in the 80s, there were a lot of photos of these groups around. And partly it was because, there were... government work schemes that some of these musicians, like all over the country, artists and musicians would get. It's basically like what you'd call an artist dole or something.
Right.
You get like money for doing a project. And some of these would be like, photographers would be on these schemes as well. So if there was a gig that was part of a work scheme, then there'd be a photographer accompanying that those musicians. And so it was... these beautiful, lots of really beautiful, really high quality photos that you just, I don't think there's so many good quality photos of live music these days. There's tons of sort of phone shots and things like that, but
they're always terrible and shaky and useless.
Yeah, and a bit more difficult to use than print, you know, because often the file size isn't quite.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a real joy having... I had to sort of hunt them down, but luckily the musicians themselves kept heaps of the photos and things. And it was also quite a kind of detective work, you know, trying to find. It's like, I got this passage in the book about one in particular was there was a festival over on the West Coast, Nepunakaiki, called the West Coast Festival. And I wrote quite a few pages about this, because this is quite an interesting story when it comes to the musicians and the kind of reception, the hostile reception they had there, you know. And but I didn't have, no one in the world had a photo, and I tried and tried, and then there's a, I was put in touch with a guy called Andy over on the coast, and he put me in touch with this dude called Greg Bell, who actually ran that festival, who lives off the grid somewhere kind of out of between Westport and Punakaiki.
Mm.
Good old Greg went under his house and dug through these old boxes and managed to
find
some photos. So that, and they got to us just before the book went to print. So it was like some of this work, it was really like being a detective, you know.
Wow, that's so cool. Why did they get a hostile reception? Was it just, you know, different tastes in music?
Yeah. I mean, so these guys were playing free jazz, which, I mean, people hopefully will understand kind of what I mean when I say that. You know, so the group, Primitive Art Group, was the two saxophone players, Stuart Porter and Neil Duncan. Double bass, Dave Donaldson. The guitar was David Watson, and then Anthony Donaldson on the drums. And they kind of had, especially in the early days, it was very kind of high energy, improvised and free improvised music. And as it went on, it became more structured and there were more compositions, and it got more into a kind of more recognizable jazz sound.
Right.
But at least in the early days, it was, and also they sort of like formed their sound and their way of making music through the time of the Springbok tour. And so they were playing gigs with like anti-tour fundraisers with punk bands and Wellington. So it was quite a kind of like a high energy, it was quite combative.
Wow.
Not necessarily stage antics, but just in terms of the intent behind the music.
Yeah, right. Wow.
And they were like, well, we're going to do our thing. It's not about pleasing the audience necessarily. It's just about doing our thing. So they took, it was that kind of attitude when they played it down in Punakaiki. And, you know, that festival in itself was kind of a, had a division between the sort of locals who were into more sort of blues, you know, maybe blues rock, whatever. There's sort of bands that were coming in from some of the early Flying Nun bands, like the Gordons played there and Builderine.
Wow.
Blue Go Purple, stuff like that. So those bands, I guess, being song-based bands, it's kind of a bit easier for people to kind of get, you know, but
into it, yeah,
like instrumental, kind of like not what people are expecting. They got like, apparently people were buying apples from the fruit store and throwing other musicians and bottles of beer.
Oh my god. I would pay good money to see these guys play. I reckon it was fascinating. It would have been so cool. Did you kind of always know you were going to write this book?
No. I mean, what I thought, actually 10 years ago, I thought to myself, hey, these are people who, you know, they're all of those musicians are still around and alive. I mean, there's been several people died since then, but, you know, the people are around, they're still playing, you know, like this is a really interesting music scene in New Zealand that hasn't really, I mean, I love all the Flying Nun bands from Christchurch and Dunedin. That's been so well documented, it seems to me.
Yeah,
you know? And it's
yeah.
Like this other stuff has happened at the same time, you know. So this is a really interesting story that hadn't been told. And these were people I knew. So I was like, well, I'm just going to start interviewing them and recording their interviews. So at least we have them talking about their music. And so it just sort of went from there, really.
And it's such an important thing to have. We aren't good at really arts archiving at all in this country. It's a real issue we've got, but that's a whole different kettle of fish, really. I think this is so fascinating. And, like, I'm really into kind of this sort of music and, like, oh, this just seems so cool. Thank you for writing about it, Daniel.
Yeah, no worries.
If people, I was just going to ask if people actually want to buy your book, can they still do that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's published by Te Heringa Waka University Press, which used to be Victoria University Press here in Pōneke. And if there's a bookshop in down your way, there may be copies in it, or else you can order it from the publisher.
Yeah, I suspect it would be at our university's bookshop, actually.
Yeah, I saw it in Paper Plus up here in Kapiti the other day.
So, wow. So, oh, well, there you go.
Get it around, yeah.
I'm definitely going to have to buy myself a copy of this. Daniel, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and to get a bit of insight into this world. I could honestly talk to you forever about it, but I don't have the time. So all I'll say one more time, really, Daniel, is thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Liam. Been a pleasure.
Audio Antiquing was proudly brought to you by Audio Culture Iwi Waiata. Visit audioculture.co.nz for more.